Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Hey, Andy, how you doing this week? Did you have a great Christmas?
Thank you, Jimmy. We did. Thank goodness it's OVER. We had 17. We host Christmas for the family, for the family, because we have a house that is open and we don't have any children. And my wife loves to do it since her mom passed, because we would always go to her mom's, you know, for either Thanksgiving or Christmas. So she took over that mantle. So I become chef de cuisine for the day. Well, for basically 2 days. You know that. We've talked about it, but outstanding. Thank you very much.
And what is the highlight of the Andy Shea Christmas dinner? You were telling me about it, Andy.
It's the beef tenderloin.
You have to.
I mean, you rub it, you get it, and then you start the application of the rub process 2 days before, let it sit. And then I am actually going to sort of grill, slow cook it. And on Christmas, that's what you do. That I did it on Christmas morning, and you do it low and slow that way. I've done it several times before. Outstanding, time consuming, freezing cold outside, but so worth it.
All right. Well, I've got one Christmas event down. I've got a second Christmas event this weekend. That's the way we do to make sure we get all. It's my family's Christmas on Saturday. So, Andy, that's the way I do it. All right, let's get started, Andy. We had, last weekend, we had full slate. We had the first round of playoffs. And, Andy, I asked you the question last week before the games when we had 12 teams.
Yep.
And not the question wasn't about did the committee get it right with which teams, but did the process of going to a 12-team playoff, did it work? And I think we both felt good about it. Now that we got that first round under our belt, I'll ask you the same question. Did they get it right?
So I'll couch my answer the same way I've always done it, under the formula that they were provided. I think they did the best they could. There will be some questions that can be asked now after the first round, Jimmy, like is it most deserving or is it best team, right? Like they've got some changes they can make, but you've heard some like squawking and screaming about the first round. Well, it wasn't really competitive. And yeah, they're not holistically wrong. And by the way, that includes Tennessee versus Ohio State. If you want to include not quote unquote competitive, Tennessee wasn't remotely ready. Believe it or not, Jimmy, what was the most entertaining and sort of on the edge football game? Texas and Clemson. It was the one that was an actual game in the third quarter, right? Pretty much still a football game.
Oh, Clemson got it down to one score, Andy, and they also got stopped deep down in the red zone. Yeah. So I thought that was a very entertaining game. I really enjoyed it.
Clemson was the one higher seed or one, you know, underdog that was traveling and on the road that actually overperformed or performed up to what you would say would be playoff caliber level. They really did. So, you're always going to have, the SEC particularly whining, moaning, and complaining and feeling entitled. But I still think in this first scenario, couched under the way they were doing it, you had to go with most deserving first to see how it plays out. It's a work in progress. This is year one. I was grateful for four college football games in like a 28-hour window. Four high quality. They didn't end up high quality games, but they were quality, intriguing matchups in 28 hours. If you're a college football fan, shut up, you face, and just enjoy it, right? Like, it's better than four. It's better than the BCS. Four was better than the BCS. 12 is better than the 14 college football playoff.
You know, Andy, a couple things. First of all, the last thing you said, I think, was the most important. As fans, we got four important games, okay? Four games that really mattered, as opposed to bowl games, which have been losing their luster and players have been sitting out. We got four games that mattered. The fact that they were blowouts, that happened with the four-team playoff often also, okay? Correct. And then this most deserving versus best team, I've always wondered about that. Like, I've always gone with most deserving. Win on the field. Don't go back. You know what? Alabama is a better team than Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt won the game, okay? Well, you don't go back and reset it by saying, well, Alabama's the better team. So let's give Alabama the W there, Andy, because they're the better team. No, that's not how it works. And that's why you actually play the games. The second part to this is, Andy, we talk about like Indiana and their performance against Notre Dame, which, by the way, was Indiana was probably the team I was most disappointed in. You and I talked about that. The coach did a lot of talking. He didn't call a game like that guy who with all the bluster and so on. But Indiana lost to a really good Notre Dame team at Notre Dame's home field, okay? And they got spanked. Is that actually worse than Alabama's loss at a very mediocre Oklahoma, where Notre Dame could not even put one touchdown on the board? So I know talent-wise, Alabama has way more talent than Indiana does. I'm just not all that sure Alabama is better. They have more talent, but they certainly didn't show it against Vanderbilt. And let's allow for an upset. But when they played Oklahoma, it was late in the season, and they knew, Andy, they knew their playoff life was on the line, and they completely laid an egg on the road. And by the way, in league games, I'm not counting the non-conference games. Well, actually, they didn't have any away games, but Alabama was 1-3 on the road this year, Andy. 1-3.
So
just how good were they?
You could say that Ole Miss and Kentucky, right? Like Ole Miss is more talented than Kentucky. Here's the thing, Jimmy. I'll break down your big thing in a nutshell, and I'll give it to our listeners in a more holiday-spirited, digestible piece. Guess what, Jimmy? Guess what we learned in the 12-team college football playoffs? And this was a question. Does the regular season really matter? You bet your butt it matters now, Jimmy. Your regular season not only matters, your non-marquee games matter even more. In other words, you can't lose. You can lose one. You can maybe lose two, but you can't lose two games where you are the favorite or the more quality team and expect to be a college football playoff team. It doesn't matter if you're from the SEC or the Big Ten. It doesn't matter. Now, that all I want to say, Jimmy, is the biggest takeaway for me from the first round of the college football playoffs and the whole seeding and watching the matchups. Yeah, do I think Alabama and Ole Miss would have provided a little more spark or a little more resistance to football? Maybe. I mean, Alabama would have been on the road. As you said, they stink on the road. Here's the thing. The 12 games matter a lot. They matter a lot, Jimmy. And we weren't sure if a 12-team field would water down the regular season, make it less relevant. Getting to your conference championship game really matters, right? Like, you can see that now. Your regular season matters week to week. You can't be an 8-4 or 9-3 team and expect to be in the college football playoffs, no matter what letters or name your school is. So I think that's my biggest takeaway based on the first round is, you know what? The regular season really does matter a lot. I still wasn't sure when I saw the matchups because I understand to a degree the Alabama-Ole Miss sort of argument, but now that I've seen the games, I'm like, your regular season matters. You can't be a mediocre regular season team. And I'm sorry, 9-3 for Alabama and the talent Ole Miss had, below expectations, underperforming, mediocre, and you expect to be a college football playoff team now. No! SMU, overperformed. Indiana, overperformed. That's why they're in.
Andy, what a bizarre concept. The games matter. What a bizarre concept.
Yeah, and then the 14th playoff, you look back now, the regular season became the windows were smaller, but the regular season became a little less relevant because you were eliminated quicker.
Yeah, so many teams were out of it so quickly. I want to mention one other thing, Andy, that I think that I learned from this, and it kind of ties into what we were talking about with Alabama having that 1-3 record on the road this year, is home field means something also. Those environments, I was there in State College at Beaver Stadium for the game. Andy, the crowd was electric. The tone before the game for tailgating, you could feel it. It was big time. It was a big game. And I've mentioned this on the show earlier this week. I hate anything about Notre Dame, okay? Everything, Andy. Everything. With that said, what a great crowd they had. I'm just from watching that on TV, you could tell what the atmosphere was. And I think, Andy, for these teams like Indiana, SMU, for them, the moment, I think, was too big. And watching SMU and the way they played, they've never played in front of 106,000 fans. They've never played in that kind of cold weather with that much on the line. And it was too big for them, Andy. That was my takeaway. We're up against the break. When we come back, I'm going to let you respond to that, Andy. Stick around. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should a team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. And Andy, if you want to make the trip with your Nittany Lions, you want to start traveling, I've been talking about collegiate athletic travel the last couple of weeks. They are not going to have a trip out to Arizona. They're holding out for the Orange Bowl. And if you are holding out for that also, check them out. Their website is athletictravel.com. They are going to offer both air package and land package only if you're heading to the game on your own. That's athletictravel.com. Or if you want to get full details from them, check them out. Call 814-238-4987. It is the way to do it when you're following your Nittany Lions and want to travel along with them. All right, Andy, when we wrapped up quarter number one, I held you at bay there. I was giving my take on the first week of the playoff games, and I thought specifically for SMU and Indiana, the moment was just way too big. You could probably say that for Tennessee also. They 100%. Just got boat raced in that first 100%. Quarter. Yeah. And Clemson, credit to them, they were on the road in Austin. And I wonder if Clemson's recent history, having been to the 14 playoff for many years, Dabo Sweeney's been there, if that didn't help them out. What do you think?
So we're talking about home games. That what you take away is they really do matter. They should. And now, you know, for the first round games, for those teams that get in, because it's 8 of the 12 are going to play, you want one of those home games. Hello, that goes back to my argument. You want to put yourself in position to get one of those home games. That's why your regular season matters even more, because now you see the value proposition of your home game. But I will say one thing about the home games, and I know they're run by the College Football Playoff Committee. Like, Penn State was the host at Beaver Stadium. They were the home team. They didn't run the game, but, you know, all the logistics. Don't put the opposition's band in the top corner of the upper deck when it's 19 degrees. That's just a bad look. You know, I saw where they had the SMU fans down in the lower bowl, and I saw that, and I understand that, but, man, don't put the other team's band up in the corner, dude, up in the upper deck. Just do a little bit better, learn, and don't do that. But, yes, home game really matters. Position and seating will matter, so they need to make some adjustments on that. And that all harpers back to your 12 games really do matter. You could probably maybe have a 2-loss season, possibly in some years even a 3-loss season, and still make it, but you're going to travel and you're going to be on the road the first round. Your performance in those 12 games now matters greater than ever, I believe, because it's 8 more teams, it's expanded, and the field is broader. Okay, it was a 12-team system. We were looking at 15 teams this year. You're always going to start with 15 to 18 teams. In the end, we were down to 15. That's why it matters. All right, Jimmy, I'm done.
Okay, Andy, my one last point is, when we hear Kirk Herbstreit, Paul Feinbaum, the entire ESPN crew, they're making the statement that team strength of schedule needs to matter. Here's the point. It did matter. Hold on, Andy. Hold on. Indiana had 1 loss, but guess what? Tennessee was above them. Ohio State was above them. They both Correct. Had 2 losses. But they were still ahead of Indiana, and I think that was justified. I think it was correct. It meant, but
you're cherry picking. You're cherry picking just like the ESPN guys are cherry picking. I think you're right. I do agree with you, but I don't think you're holistic. I don't think the committee evaluated or properly weighted strength of schedule. I'm not saying Alabama and Ole Miss should have been in, Jimmy. I'm not saying that.
What change would you have made?
Well, I think my mine is when it comes to seeding, and that is where they're shoehorned in. I don't think I would have changed the 12 teams that made it. I would have liked to have had the freedom to seed them differently, but
you didn't. The seeding was what it was. So, Andy, you right. just got done saying that they didn't put in strength to schedule enough. They didn't emphasize it enough. So I'm asking you the question, what should they have done differently than what they did? If you said they made that mistake, you got to clarify what the mistake was.
So I think me personally, when you look at strength of schedule, when the eye test, looking at the end of college football season, performance, I thought this one's going to throw you for a loop. I thought South Carolina should have been in instead of SMU.
And what you had there, I could understand that as an opinion, Andy. And
that's my opinion.
That's okay. But I think saying that the committee did not.
Oh, they did. They did. I
weigh
agree
in
with
strength yeah. of schedule. My point is they did, and I'm not presenting an opinion there. It's the fact Indiana and Ohio State from the exact same conference, Ohio State with two losses was seeded higher than Indiana with one loss. Why? Difference in schedule. We talked about it. Ohio State had to play Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana. They had the three other playoff teams on their schedule. So I think they did weigh it. But, you know, a three-loss Alabama with two god-awful losses going ahead of a one-loss team, sorry, no, that's too much of a stretch. All right, Andy, let's get a little bit into the Penn State-Boise State game. I promised you all week I would allow you to talk about your predictions for this game. Go to it, Andy. Go to it, buddy.
So we're talking about the SMU game, not the Boise State game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Boise State.
No, you threw me for a curve. SMU. I'm like, hold on. We're talking about Boise. So
we'll talk Boise later, but SMU, I'm sorry.
There were just a couple little things. First of all, and I had said this, like, okay, that was sort of their defense had a clunker in the Big Ten championship game. That was for a reason, Jimmy, because Oregon's offense is really good. At the same token, I said Oregon's defense didn't play well either because Penn State's defense played with its hair on fire. Our offense played with its hair on fire. There were a couple small identifiers. One was it just stuck to me that SMU doesn't take good care of the football. 100 and some in the country in total turnovers. In other words, giveaways. They were in the hundreds, like low hundreds. That's a red flag when the opposition's in the low 20s. That's a gap. I thought that might be a problem because I thought SMU has to really, really, really value the football. Hello, 14-0 and the offense hasn't scored. It looked like the Ohio State game, but they really came out with their hair on fire. The second part was over the course of 60 minutes, and I thought SMU's defense played well. I really did. They were put in some really bad situations. I thought they played well. Their run defense was legit, right? You know, top 10 in the country, legit. They were legitimate. But over the course of 60 minutes, they couldn't handle it. And I said at the end of the day, going into that game, every time Catron Allen or Nicholas Singleton ran the football, they averaged 5.5 yards per carry, and that matters. Hello, those two went for 160 yards and averaged 7-something yards a carry at the end of the day. They were the difference makers for Penn State. So it was turnovers, Penn State's defense and strength, and Penn State's O-line in that running game eventually. Because honestly, both quarterbacks underperformed. Neither, you know, obviously the SMU quarterback struggled big time. Drew Aller wasn't particularly good either. He was, you know, covered up. So their roster was better. They were playing better. And they performed at a really high level. And they simply just overwhelmed SMU. It looked like a dressed up version of the Maryland game. Right? Like, that's what the opposition looked like. And that's kind of what I thought going in, like, this is like playing Maryland or Michigan State this year. And that's what it ended up looking like. And they were clearly the better team.
They were, Andy. And SMU, I said earlier, I thought the moment was too big for them as a team, especially the quarterback. He made some really, really bad mistakes. And, you know, I posted earlier this week a For the Bloggy segment where they highlighted Penn State's defense and the things they did to fool the quarterback of SMU. And it was effective. It worked. I mean, the throws, the interceptions were really bad, Andy. And I'll highlight another one. Besides the three interceptions, the first possession for SMU – when they were on Penn State's 20 or 25-yard line, they had a 4th-and-1. I thought their coach, that was the best call of the game. Instead of just going right up the middle, he had his quarterback roll out. He could have easily made the first down on his own, but he had a wide-open receiver, would have been touchdown. A touchdown, and he missed the pass. He missed the pass. And
that was a big momentum builder.
it's easier when you're at the game to see the passing game, to see the receivers open earlier. I'm watching that and I say, oh, wow, he's going to make the first down just with his legs. And then I'm seeing he's getting set to pass the ball. And it's like, well, why not? His receiver's wide open. It's going to be a touchdown, Andy. It's going to be 7-0. And he missed the guy badly.
Yeah, I missed him badly. That was underperforming. The defense in way Penn State fools them another way, and this didn't happen in the Big Ten Championship, pocket impact, tackles for losses, you know, pocket pressure, sacks. That guy was not comfortable for a long time, you know, because there was a lot of heat in his kitchen, and they had a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage, and that's the fuel that lights his defense. So I thought that was relevant.
That is the case, Andy. All right, coming up, it's your questions. We ask Andy. Stay tuned for that. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. This is where we take your questions for Andy, and away we go. You want to ask Andy a question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. And that is exactly what our buddy Steve from Columbia did, all right? You ready? You got to be prepared when we get a question from Steve from Columbia. So here's what he says. Andy, do you agree Tom Allen is doing a masterful job? He mixed it up, dropping linebackers and blitzing on occasion. He doesn't recklessly and predictably blitz on every single obvious passing down, unnecessarily exposing our secondary for chunk plays. Wonder who he's referring to, Andy.
Is he taking a body shot at Manny Diaz? Because, Steve, did you go to Walgreens and get some, you know, I don't know what I'm looking at pills and swallow them when you watch your Penn State Nittany Lions? Yes, he was a blitz heavy coordinator, but you didn't know where it was coming from, and he had the dudes on the back end to cover it, and the odd chunk play was irrelevant versus the consistent heat in your kitchen. I thought Manny Diaz, and I still believe this, as a defensive coordinator, and this goes back to before he became a head coach at Miami when he was in D.C., he's one of the best there is. It's sort of one of those, Manny Diaz as a D.C. for me is like Joe Moorhead as an offensive coordinator. Like, I'm a big Joe Moorhead guy. I'm a fan of his as an offensive coordinator. He's not doing so well with the head coaching thing. It's a struggle, but he did well at Florida before he came to Penn State, but it's been a strong, but as an offensive coordinator, given a little bit of tools, oh man, he's a mad scientist. So I don't think Manny Diaz was problematic. I think Tom Allen is a little more, Tom Allen is a little more paint by numbers than Manny Diaz, but he's also very percentage and keenly aware of the assets that he has to do that. He's actually getting the very most out of players. Like, one of the most players that struggled the most this year for Penn State defensively has been Rojas, right? Tony Rojas, he drives me crazy to watch him play football this year to a degree. Yes, I see the flash plays. Yes, ridiculously athletic. But he runs around and runs through plays. His gap retention, it hasn't gotten better. It's been the same all year. It's been this sort of chaotic, crazy football. You could see him coming on and off the field when he's I could see it because I'm watching, but I'm like, get that guy off the field. He's killing them because he's trying to make the splash play. In a game like this, and I think Tom Allen is sort of like, I'm just going to let him go and cover up around him. And that's what I think he's going to do for the rest of the college football playoffs. And with Tony Rojas going forward, he just needs, if he wants to play the NFL, he's got to get a little better structurally and, you know, at his sort of basics. But he fit the mold of this football game, and he knew it. Tom Allen knew it.
All right, Andy, I have nothing to add to your comment. Okay. You said it all. All right, moving on. Let's get to Jimmy in Forest City, another good friend of the show. Jimmy says, aside from the SMU quarterback, Drew Aller had the lowest quarterback rating among the playoff quarterbacks. Does this concern you at all, or do you just blame it on the weather?
No, I don't blame it on the weather. It should be a little mildly concerning. But here's the thing, and I'd already mentioned this previously, Jimmy. I'm like, neither quarterback was any good in this game. Drew Aller did not play well. This was an exception game, right? Just like the defense struggled in the Big Ten championship game. It was kind of weird to see them get, you know, sort of run all over and scored upon like that, right? Like on a consistent basis like that. I was like, yeah, that's the exception to the norm. This was the exception. However, I will say Andy came out with a game plan based and it proved to be true. SMU's run defense was stout. You're not just going to start the game lining up and shoving the ball down their throat. The first two or three series were built on Drew Aller, and they handed him the keys and gave him the ball because he was throwing the ball all around the lot in the beginning of the game, Jimmy, right? Like basically the first quarter was Drew Aller's. He's the focus of the offense. That was the plan. He's going to be the focus of the offense. And he struggled. And he didn't perform very well. And he got the breathing room from his defense. And they settled into, you know, they just started going like, well, now we'll try these two backs. And then they're like, yeah, we'll keep going to these two backs. Hey, those two backs are pretty good. Let's keep using them. It allowed Drew Aller to settle in a little bit.
Andy, I'm not so sure that it's that you painted it correctly or how I would. Like the first drive, he threw two passes, very short. They were essentially running plays. You know, you complete the pass for 0 yards, that kind of thing. The second possession, just to get you tell you what how they started it. Tyler Warren run, Catron Allen run. Drew Aller rushing right, Catron Allen. Drew Aller completes a short pass. Catron Allen run, Singleton run, Aller pass incomplete. So I don't think they did really hand him the ball and have him throwing it all over. And the other thing, so I'm disagreeing with you a lot on this question,
Andy. The short pass was a relevant part of the game plan.
But it's essentially like a run play. But also, Andy, I do think the weather was an issue for everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
It was cold. It was
freezing cold. Yeah.
I think that was a factor. And I think it was really obvious when you saw the players kicking the ball. Goals, geez, yeah, and punting, it was just obvious, you know, for Riley Thompson, this was without a doubt his worst performance of the season. And watching the SMU punter, I haven't been watching them all year, but they were not impressive punts. I got the feeling that it was like kicking a brick. Yeah. And
so, kickoffs and with were the, short. Kickoffs were short for the most part. Yeah, it was. So yeah, the conditions played into it. Look, will Drew Aller be better against Boise State? You can expect it to be yes, because nobody knows that he wasn't at his best.
And I think the weather will be part of that. All right, let's get to Jack in Somerset, who says, "Hey, Andy, does James Franklin need to win one more game for this to be a successful season?"
No, they're favored. They're a double-digit favorite. They're the better team. They're the better roster. Does he have to? No, I mean, they made it to the playoff. They made it to the Big Ten championship game. They won a college football playoff game. They have a great opportunity. It will be a disappointment if Penn State loses this football game, but that doesn't mean the 2024 season is disappointing. That's the way I'll phrase it. Like an 11-point favorite against a bit of a one-trick pony team where you're the better roster, you have more elite talent, you're the pretty much the bigger, stronger, faster team. You lose that football game, that's disappointing. Does it mean that the entire season is? I say no, I can't see it.
Andy, I saw what you did there. Boise State Broncos, a one-trick pony.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
You're welcome.
Done.
Okay, what's your argument against me? I'm listening. I'm ready. What is it?
No, I think I think you presented it exactly right, that it will be disappointing if they lose, and that this is just kind of the luck of the draw, how it worked out. And we talked about how the seeding worked, and it's probably not the best way to do it. And Penn State is the, you know, fortunate group for that and how it worked out. So good for them. But they should win this game. That's what we expect them to do. The other thing, Andy, and I need to check this out because I read it on a fan forum and so on. So I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it looked like somebody did their research that every time, you know, that James Franklin's record against top 10 teams, we all know what it is, but they said Penn State was actually the underdog in every single one of those games. So it makes wasn't sense. Like they were expect. Yes, it does. It does make sense. Yeah. And so I should do that research, but I think that tells you why the record is what the record is. And when he's a favorite, I take it he wins most of the time. All right, let's go to Harry in Columbus. I'm assuming Columbus, Ohio. Harry says, "Hey, guys, I'm tired of the Southeast Conference whining. Is it possible that the Big Ten actually has the three best teams in the country?"
So I will say this, Harry. It was hard to identify an elite team in the SEC. That's it. The reason that was, it's because there wasn't one. I mean, Texas nearly lost to Clemson. They were life and death up against it. Clemson's quarterback, Kate Klubnik, played really well. They were up against it. So the SEC, Harry's right, was Oregon elite. I still say, and I think, I know they lost to Michigan, and that kills them. And their coach is still in this weird land, Ryan Day. The Buckeyes, top to bottom, they're still the best roster remaining in the college football playoffs. There's no argument about that. They're the deepest, most talented team there is. They also have the best defense in the country.
Yes, they do. They do have the most talent. It'll be interesting to see, Andy. All right, that is it for quarter number three. And Ask Andy, stick around. We're going to look forward to Boise State when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. And Andy, I've got some more help for our listeners. If you are heading out to Arizona for the Fiesta Bowl, looking for something to do pregame, you looking to tailgate? Here's the answer for you. Go to tailgateconnect.com. They have a wonderful tailgate set up. It's very close to the stadium. That features what's known as the best margarita in all of Arizona, the taco bar. And for one set price, you get in, you get your drinks, you get your food. It's a fantastic setup. And even better, go to tailgateconnect.com, check out the Fiesta Bowl, and use code Keystone, and you will get a discount to get into the great, great tailgate for the Fiesta Bowl. That's tailgateconnect.com. Check them out. All right, Andy. Just one last note. We were talking about the last question and ask Andy was, does the Big Ten have the three best teams, meaning Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State? I'm not sure, but you answered correctly. There are no elite teams in the Southeast Conference. The jury's still out if there's an elite team in the Big Ten, too, I think. And Ohio State is the closest to that talent-wise. Oregon has been the closest to that performance-wise. Nobody else, if you notice, the teams that were ranked second, third, fourth, they had two losses, Andy. Oregon, undefeated, the only team in the country. They've performed like an elite team, but it's still going to be a test for them, starting with Ohio State. That's going to be a fantastic game. And Andy, before we get to just the Penn State Boise State game, just in general, you have four games, two of them that the odds makers say are very close: Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia, Notre Dame. Which of those two games intrigues you more? And is there any team among those four that you say, you know what, that's the team to look out for?
Good questions. I am intrigued. We've already seen the Ohio State-Oregon game version 1.0. This is 2.0. It's not going to be the same game, but there's more known. I'm intrigued by the Notre Dame-Georgia. Georgia's going to be compromised, I believe, at the quarterback position with their starter being out. They will use a QB2. I thought I saw earlier this week Notre Dame's lost a defensive lineman that will impact them as well. I'm intrigued by this because Georgia, they've played the toughest schedule in the country of anybody. There's nothing that they've been there, done that when it comes to the playoffs. Kirby Smart's a really good next level quarterback. Hello, they won the SEC championship game. Hello, they beat Texas for a second time this year for the only two losses Texas have on the schedule. Hello, that guy can coach. So that's the most intriguing game for me. And is Notre Dame capable of playing at a Georgia level? We know they lost that game to Northern Illinois way back in the beginning. and they've been playing ever since. I think they're a good quality football team. Their quarterback's figured a lot out over the course of the season, showing it. They could present some problems for Georgia. That's the interesting game. The one team, I think, if they show up, it depends on which one shows up. It's Ohio State, Jimmy. That's the juggernaut. If they choose to be that juggernaut, Jimmy, I know their offensive line has been beat up and compromised, and they've got guys gone and out, and they're, you know, on their fifth tackle and stuff like that. I get it. But their defense is the best in the country. Those wide receivers are stupid good, right? They have those two running backs. We talk about Penn State's running backs. Well, what about the two Ohio State have? Yeah. You know, that's the team that I think could be. I think Ohio State could win it all if they show up and play like they did against, if they show up and play like they did against Tennessee for 60 minutes. They're going to be very, very difficult to beat. I'm still going to pick Oregon to win the game, though.
Interesting.
It's interesting because I don't trust. Here's the thing. Oh, well, all that about Ohio State, they still have the Ryan Day thing. That's their problem. Ryan Day is a problem. You know, if he gets out of the way, this team could be a juggernaut. If he tries to Ryan Day up and say, and you know, I'm the coach, I run this program, well, then you're going to lose.
You know what, Andy? I think what you're saying is Ohio State at their best is the best team in the country. And but I think that first quarter against Tennessee, who, by the way, has a very good defense. Ohio State just shredded them.
Tore them up. Like every which way and inside out, Jimmy, it was impressive.
It was very impressive playing at that level. And of course, I'm sure if you're an Ohio State fan, you're saying to yourself, where was that against Michigan? You know?
Right.
So, all right, Andy, let's now circle back to Penn State, Boise State. Penn State, an 11-point favorite. I am a bit surprised by that spread, because I thought the national narrative on Penn State is they can't win big games. They didn't have a schedule. They didn't beat anybody on their schedule. But there seems to be this other narrative, which is now in the playoffs, the seedings, teams like SMU and Indiana, they can't hang with the big boys. And all of a sudden, Penn State is now a big boy. So, first of all, 11-point spread. Sound right to you?
Feels right to me, Jimmy. I'm thinking it could be 13, 14, 15 points, depending. Now, keep in mind, this game's not at Beaver Stadium. Penn State's a little bit better, different football team at home, right? The duality of the narrative that you spoke about is, yeah, you could say that if you just look at it on the surface, but if you actually watch Penn State play football and watch their defense, you're like, whoa, wow. This team's got some stuff cooking, right? Like, you know, and you watch Tyler Warren play and kind of maybe watch the running backs a little bit. But, yeah, so the spread's about right. It's an 11. This is a group of five team, Jimmy. SMU at least played in the ACC and played in a championship. This is a group of five team. I'm not kicking Boise State. Look, they've got the guy. Genty Arden could have maybe. He could have been the Heisman Trophy winner, right? He's going to be a very high elite draft pick in the NFL. He's really good. He's really, really good. Now, he's going to go up against, that's it. They, a lot centers on him. It's all based and built around him. Everything else that comes off of it is centered on him. Now he's going to take on a legitimate top 10 rushing defense in college football. And they allow 100 yards a game. This guy gets to 200 in his sleep. I think he's still going to get him, right? Now, you say, well, they played UNLV, and UNLV came into the conference championship averaging 101 rushing yards a game through the regular season. And Genty had 200 yards. Correct. This is not UNLV's defense. that he will be going up against. It's deep, strong, fast, aggressive, and not afraid to come after you. They are in a, that's the big difference. They're not going to sit back and wait for anything. They're going to come at you. So I know that here's a key for me. I know Boise State's defense was better down the stretch. You know, Oregon State, Wyoming, UNLV. They were better in those three football games down the stretch defensively. They're structurally and holistically, they're not a very good defense, Jimmy. Penn State's offense, even despite some struggles along the way, somehow finds a way to get to 30. So here's the thing. What's Boise State got to do to get to 30? Because that's the benchmark. I have a hard time seeing that despite the talent they have at running back, which is obvious. He's won. Penn State's got two of them. He's won. I have a hard time seeing how Penn State gets to 30. That's all I want. I mean Boise State. I have a hard time seeing how Boise State gets to 30. Remember, the trenches, they matter. It's where it starts. How good is Penn State's offensive line? I said it last week. They got to be a really confident, comfortable, excuse me, group.
Andy, you know what? I think that Penn State offensive line and defensive line, I think that's where when you play a team, as you mentioned, Boise State, group of five, SMU, first year in the ACC, that's where depth matters. It, you know, there's five offensive linemen and probably very few teams are playing that front five that they played in the opening game. We saw it with Penn State and, you know, kudos to Penn State bringing in Nolan Rucci. You know, he wasn't starting. They lost Anthony Donka, you know, starting right tackle, who's been playing very well. And they didn't skip a beat here. Nolan Rucci, it's having that kind of depth. That's what I look at as the difference between, you know, a Penn State team and a Boise State team. So, Andy, I'm giving you a minute. Time again for predictions and bold prediction.
This one for me feels easier than last week. I'm going to go Penn State 34, Boise State 17. I see Penn State getting to 30. And my bold prediction, I think Drew Aller is going to have a very good football game. I think it's going to be a conducive environment for him to play well. I think this secondary and this, I think Tyler Warren and Mr. Aller are going to have some fun in Arizona. And I think I'm going to call my bold prediction, 3 touchdown passes for Drew Aller in this football game. 3.
Very good, Andy. I can't see them losing if he has 3 touchdown passes. All right. That is it for our show. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.